From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, brings another portion of a message entitled, Prayer God Answers, the first in a series of studies dealing with that which ought to be of paramount interest to every child of God. Yet, as Dr. Cairns will show from the Bible, there are kinds of praying with which God will have nothing to do. How, then, is the earnest Christian to know that he or she is praying in a way that is acceptable to the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ gave the definitive answer to this question, part of which is to be found in our text, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Dr. Cairns will continue this vital message in a few minutes, but first, in today's hot topic, he sounds a warning against Rick Warren's new gospel.
Rick Warren, he of the purpose-driven life, is now being driven by a new purpose. Recently he called what was termed as a purpose-driven network summit to launch a new initiative that he calls the PEACE, P-E-A-C-E, Coalition. The summit was held in Warren's Saddleback Church and lasted 3 days. The acronym PEACE is an acrostic that means promote reconciliation, equip servant leaders, assist the poor, care for the sick, and educate the next generation. The coalition will cooperate in a global mission strategy called the PEACE plan, and the plan is a massive, long-range effort to mobilize 1 billion Christians in local churches around the world to copy what they claim is Jesus' model of ministry. PEACE Coalition members see the actions envisaged in their title as Jesus Christ's antidote to 5 global giants, problems that affect billions of people around the world. Warren said, "For followers of Jesus, one of the most important words in our vocabulary is the word go. Jesus repeatedly commanded every believer to go. You can't spell gospel or good news without go. Ours is an active, not passive faith." Now, let us be clear about some things. There's nothing new about the Christian church or Christian organizations promoting peace, helping the poor, educating the illiterate, or caring for the sick. History is replete with examples of Christian servants in action at great personal cost to do these very things. Indeed, much of the history of Christian missions is the story of how dedicated servants have put the faith of the gospel into action to bring the good news of eternal life to the perishing, and in doing so to ameliorate their social and economic conditions. If what Rick Warren is proposing were to continue the tradition and to get millions of Christians involved, I would have no problem. But I do have a problem. In fact, it is the most basic problem I could have with his proposal. Look carefully again at his P-E-A-C-E initiative. Hear what those letters mean. P means promote reconciliation. E means equip servant leaders. A means assist the poor. C means care for the sick. And E means educate the next generation. Now, laudable as these aims may sound, let me ask you a question. Do you recognize in all this even one reference to anything distinctively Christian? I don't. What bothers me most of all is that Warren is touting his purpose-driven peace coalition as the way the Lord Jesus carried out his ministry. If that were true, then Warren's way would be the only way for Christians to carry on their ministry. I believe he knows that he is making such an enormous claim for his movement. But Warren is dead wrong. He's promoting something under the name of Christ that is the opposite of the Savior's message and ministry. The Lord Jesus preached, "Repent and believe the gospel." Nothing he said or did can be rightly understood apart from that primary message. Yet Warren's new gospel makes not even the slightest mention of any gospel imperative. Indeed, it could just as well be a Jewish or Muslim initiative as a Christian one. To equate this with the ministry of Christ is delusional and deceptive. What Rick Warren is proposing is not just a new way of spreading the gospel, but a new gospel. And we all know what Galatians 1 verses 8 and 9 has to say about anyone who does that.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the subject of angels. In 5 articles, various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church deal with such matters as what are angels, what is their ministry, as well as the topic of Satan and the fallen angels. Among other articles of interest in this issue, there is a focus on what the Lord is doing in the country of Peru. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
What the Savior says, use not vain repetitions. Use not vain repetitions. The idea is surely repeating things over and over again, as the English words make clear. But the verb that is used here is very interesting. The noun form of this was used, for instance, by some enemies of the great orator Demosthenes, and they just mocked his oratory. And they used the noun form of this word to describe him, and it meant a gabbler. And if you could put this in very colloquial English, what the Savior is saying when you pray, do not gabble like the heathen. We must not come to the holy place of prayer simply to gabble to God. That's what the Savior is saying. Now, people gabble to make their prayers longer. There's no virtue in a long prayer in itself, or in the mere length of the prayer.
People gabble to make themselves sound good with empty promises, professions, or pretensions before God. That's what the heathen do. And Jesus said, don't pray like the heathen. We mustn't simply multiply empty words. And then he's saying we mustn't sink to idle, mechanical, trite words or forms of prayer. Mindless repetition. That's heathenish. Now, we may point the finger at others here and say, well, we can see that as heathen. I've mentioned, I think, once before that when I was growing up in Belfast, the family next door to us was a Roman Catholic family. The father in that family was the most devout Roman Catholic I've ever known. I trust that my mother was able to lead him to the knowledge of Christ as he was dying of cancer. I trust that. I know that he wouldn't have the priest about him because he had come to know something more. I hope he was saved. But his family, some of whom have since been saved, were brought up in this strict, orthodox, conservative, very, very devout Roman Catholic home. And of course they had to have their rosary beads and they had to say so many Hail Marys and so many Our Fathers. And I can remember being in that home and these children would be getting ready for bed and they'd have their rosary beads twined through their fingers and they'd be telling their beads, counting them off, the number of Hail Marys and Our Fathers and all the rest of it. And of course, they'd be saying the words again and again. Holy Mary, Mother of God, and all that. They were going on and on and on and on. They knew how to say the words. But the words may as well have been in Chinese that they had learned because they weren't thinking of them. And that was quite obvious when they were pulling the beads through the fingers and somebody else in the family went to do something, to touch something that belonged to them. In the middle of it, there'd be Our Father, hey, you get your hands off my book, and straight on to the next. And it was just like that. And they never thought a thing about it. It's very easy for us to identify that and say that's vain repetition. And so it is. And that is heathen. But without your rosary beads, you also and I also can sink into the use of idle words in prayer. Meaningless, mechanical, trite words or forms of prayer. Where it doesn't cost us any thought to say what we're saying. I'm sure you have been here because this is one of the most prevalent things into which we fall. Where you have been saying things and your mind has been somewhere else and you wonder, what was that I have been saying? The Lord Jesus warns us, meaningless repetition, mechanical forms, empty words, that which costs no thought, no meditation, no involvement of the heart and the mind is certainly just a heathen form of prayer. But there's something more here. Because when the heathens used mindless repetitions, they did it for a very specific purpose. The heathens mindlessly repeated their prayers and their devotions. If I could put it very colloquially, to disengage the mind. To get, as they felt, beyond the conscious and to produce an altered state of consciousness that they would feel something very, very different. In their case, they would think it was elevation, spiritual elevation. You find this with the priests of Baal on Mount Carmel when they were repetitiously in their heathen forms pursuing their crying upon Baal. What they were doing was producing this altered state of consciousness in themselves and that is always heathen. That's what the Lord is warning us about. And you know, He couldn't have been more up to date. Because now we find we have come full circle. Baal worship is now being not only brought into, but touted in so-called Christian assemblies as the latest and greatest discoveries about true prayer. I have publicly before inveighed against the charismatic delusion of singing the same chorus in a mindless way for about 30 or 40 times. But when people get into this constant repetition, whether, and especially dangerous in music, constant repetition, what it is doing, it is disengaging the active consciousness and the active work of the mind. It is a deliberate attempt to produce an altered state of consciousness. Some preachers have come right out into the open, and they have espoused some of the notions that have been popularized by New Age people. And they will tell you, some of them will tell you in so many words, that the way then, as you constantly repeat, the way then is to kick out your mind. The way to get answers to prayer then is this visualization process. But what is this? Some of them have even boasted that they have taken their ideas straight out of Buddhism and other forms of Eastern mysticism. What is this? Is it prayer? Both the hypocrite and the heathen coincide in this, that their praying is so centered upon man that the great result is subjective in themselves or in the people with whom they're worshipping. But the Lord Jesus shows us that true prayer is objective. It is directed toward God. Surely it will produce results in us. But we must not simply seek to manufacture those results or lookalikes of them and tell ourselves that we have prayed. The Lord Jesus is warning us to avoid praying like hypocrites and avoid praying like heathens. Now then, on the positive side, he goes on to show us how we should succeed in prayer. He says, when you pray, after this manner, in verse 9, he says, pray ye. Clearly, he means to give us definite, positive instructions about true prayer. The last thing in the world the Lord Jesus wants is that we pray to no purpose. Now let that sink in. Take your own life in the last week, to say nothing about the last year or the last 10 years. Have a look at your own life. Is there any purpose in your praying? Is there any reality in your praying? Or is it simply fulfilling a duty? Is it simply stifling a sense of guilt if you don't do it? Is it simply going through a form, multiplying words, repeating things you've been repeating for years with no more thought now than you had a year ago about it? The Lord Jesus does not want us to pray to no purpose. He wants us to pray the kind of praying that God answers. These verses that we have read, he tells us the persons that we must be in prayer. He tells us the place, the secret place that we must cultivate in prayer. He uses the word use, as in our translation, using vain repetitions and using them not. The idea is the practice that we must employ in prayer. And he goes on to give us specifically something about the petitions that we must ask in prayer. Now, this is the area that he's covering with his instructions. And I want us to sum them up very simply. First of all, in prayer, seek the communion of God, not the commendation of man. That's what the Lord Jesus is telling us. What is prayer? Fundamentally, prayer is the communion of a child with a father. It is communion with God. You know, that's to be. And I have to again back off and say, this to me is one of the supreme challenges of Bible Christianity. This is to be the most real thing in the life of a Christian. Communion with God. Nearer than hands and feet. More real than the physical things we touch. Deeper rooted in our hearts than any other experience or any other desire. Communion with God. The Lord Jesus is telling us then, make that the goal. Seek communion with God. Do not seek the commendation of men in this matter of prayer.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.